basically Body Cafe. It's a small coffee house with the services of a request on-site restaurant and event management facility.
Okay, wow. Okay, so that's quite a bit happening from one place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you must be a really busy man.
Yes, I am. Luckily, one of the good things is that while my training at Le Roche and at the CIA, they always taught me how to organize and to manage things. So pretty much that has actually worked very well for me.
Right. That's excellent. So what got you into the business of opening your own establishment and Bayou Cafe?
Well, there's different factors. One of the factors is that this is the fact that I don't have a U.S. citizenship or a green card and only hold a Ecuadorian passport has made really tough for me to be able to get jobs outside of Ecuador.
Right.
And to be able to grow in the industry.
Right.
Also, with all the immigration regulations changing all the time, that actually became complicated. And so I decided that I needed to do something for myself. When I also tried to work here in Ecuador, salary-wise, was really low. It was really, it's not what I expected to receive, even though I tried the industry to learn about the market and everything here. And the latest thing that happened was that I was actually working or interviewing for a food and beverage management position for one of the hotels here in Ecuador.
Right.
And they offered me a salary of $800 a month, but I was competing with a person who was actually from India and who did not have the same amount of training that I did, but they offered him $3,500 a month.
Right.
So when I asked why was the difference, and they say, oh, he's international and you're local.
Oh.
So even here for local people, there is a little bit of discrimination towards salary rates and all that,
okay,
which made me think that I was not really valued. So I was like, okay, there's a lot of inconvenience in the industry. There's a lot of things here which people, they don't actually view. So I was like, why can I actually show how special this can be?
Right.
So then when the idea came through and I decided to open Bayou Cafe, and I started. And luckily, in 2 years and a half that I've been running, the coffee house has increased. We have a bigger rotation of tables, new clients coming in always, and we have actually grown a lot. Even considering that right now in Ecuador there's an economic crisis, which expenditure has limited to many people to go out often. However, in our case, we luckily have with good regulated prices, of course, having our income and everything, we are still one of the lowest restaurants that have lower prices with great service, great food, and that has actually kept us being in the market.
So you should be proud of yourself. I mean, that's amazing to do that when everybody's having a tough time and you're doing better. I mean, how does that feel?
It feels very good. One of the things I'm very actually happy about is that my image and my reputation has grown locally, nationally here in Ecuador as one of the top providers in food and beverage. However, one of the things that it made me feel a lot more special is that even though that I'm here in Ecuador, a lot of people, because I have a lot of expats and a lot of tourism going on,
right,
also the reputation has grown internationally. So for now that I was in September in New Orleans at Ruth Chris, I went there, and one of the persons actually knew who I was and what I was doing,
wow,
even there in New Orleans.
Okay.
And when I went to Restaurant Depot to see if I can be a member, so I can do shopping of spice and everything to bring back, the corporation, they checked on TripAdvisor, they reviewed what I was doing, and they said that they would feel honored if I could, to make me part of their members, which they gave me the membership, and now I can actually go once a year for vacation, and I do my shopping of spices and everything for the coffee house.
Super.
It's been really great to know that all the hard effort and all the hard work has actually paid off, not only locally, but internationally too.
So how does it make you feel? I mean,
amazing. It's just a great honor and makes me feel very, very well and very special.
That's amazing.
And one of the things that I'm also working now is that I'm actually writing a children's cookbook.
Okay.
On the sense of how to teach kids how to cook properly and how to cook healthy food, but at the same time make it fun and make it delicious. But teaching them also the safety skills that they need in the kitchen, how to do the grocery shopping, the importance of a proper nutritious meal and all that. So it's, you know, I'm really looking forward to actually not only staying with IKF, but develop new ideas and to show to the world that there's, if you have the desire and you really want to grow, there's always a way to do it.
Can you tell a little more about this project? It sounds really interesting.
It is, and for sure, once I finish with the book, I'll send you the draft to your email so you can read it and you can have actually one of the copies.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. I think it's such a fantastic idea for kids because kids love to cook. And this would be great. It's a fantastic idea. So
yeah.
So what got you into doing this? I mean, writing a book for kids.
Well, one of the things that I saw around the industry and working here, when I started Bayou Cafe, when I did the market research, one of the things that people really wanted was healthy food.
Right.
So basically, we started with mostly salads, with the sauces, Cajun sauces and Creole sauces, and well, of course, po' boys, beignets, and all that. However, the salads and all that was the less things that were coming out of the menu. So then I realized that if I start making, more Philly cheesesteaks, other type of sandwiches, chilies, and other things, people were actually a lot more happy. So what I did was cook all the food that they wanted,
right?
But I converted in a healthy way, using less oil, less salt, not too much sauces or too much processed food. Actually, I try to go more organic and more with fresh items.
Right.
And we basically have everything raw here, so we cut and saute, cook everything at that moment. So everything is freshly cut, freshly prepared, and I started to see that people loved it. And when I saw kids coming here with their parents, I saw that they were liking the food, and the parents were always saying, oh my God, you know what? They never eat at home. I don't know how they're eating here.
Right.
So I was like, oh, because the food is fun and it's healthy. And that's how the idea popped in, and I was like, why they cannot actually cook at home? Why the kids cannot learn even how to make this food at home?
Right.
And that also is going to create a society that is going to be more healthy, because instead of using so much processed food or using products that they never even had, they can actually learn how to cook it at a young age at home, give them the resources for a good survival skill in the future, and at the same time can be designed to be able to cook in family with the parents for them to learn different new recipes and to have a better healthy meal and balanced food at home between families.
Right. That's amazing.
So that's how the idea came, just looking at the kids and looking at the people here at the coffee shop.
So on a personal level, I mean, what do you get out of doing this? I mean,
in my personal, it's a satisfaction to know that I can actually give an idea and show to the world that there's a new way to do things, and there's always a way to develop a healthy way of life, and that it never can be boring. Personally, also, it can help me increase my image, my reputation as a chef and as a professional in the hotel industry, and above all, just the satisfaction to know that I can make a change in the world.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm just writing this down. It's amazing.
Oh, not to worry.
So, today with Bayou Cafe, what's the one thing you want more from your business today?
Well, one of my gifts of my business and the concept is to be able to franchise it worldwide,
okay,
to be able to make it an international franchise.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's an ambitious and an amazing plan. I've actually franchised restaurants.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a tough business, franchising. And it's also a different business. There's a business of running the restaurant, and then there's a business of franchising. There are two separate businesses going on simultaneously for the franchisor. And, but it's fantastic.
Yes, it's so true.
It's fantastic. That's great. Can you just talk a little more about it? I mean, franchising, when you reach a point as a restaurant owner that I want to franchise my business, why do you feel that your business is ready to franchise? I mean, how do you know that it's ready to franchise?
Well, the thing with my business that I know that it's ready to franchise is because I see that I have developed a concept and I have developed an atmosphere that it's unique. There's something that people love. And it doesn't matter where they're because
Hello?
and I see that they're traveling, they're really wanting to be able to have this food and this experience where they are.
Sebastian, I'm sorry,
So that actually.
I lost you in the last 30 seconds. After you said unique atmosphere, I think we lost our connection. Could you say that again? What were you saying?
Sorry. We have a unique atmosphere. So it was that we had clients that came from Phoenix, Arizona, from New York City, to spend a week here in Cuenca. But just eating them the Valle Cafe because they have read the review what I was doing and they want to have this experience.
Right.
But as I don't have a restaurant in their home, they decided to make a travel. So it makes me feel that people are ready to have this in their own location so they can actually go and experience what we do. So the idea of my franchise is that, and what we do basically here in Valle Cafe is that. It's not only for clients where they can feel at home and they can get what they want, but it's also where the chef, the staff members, they can always be creating, they can always be original, and they can expand themselves as much as they want to be able to give what the customer likes.
Right.
And that's our main focus is customer service and customer satisfaction.
Right. So franchising will help you personally also, right? I mean,
Yes.
how will this make a difference to your life, franchising your restaurant?
Well, franchising the restaurant will change is that instead of being 100% operational, working in the kitchen, it will change me a bit to be working more as a managerial status,
Right.
where that's going to give me the options to train people to be able to look at what they're doing. And also, that will actually give me a time to also be able to hire proper people to help me out.
Right.
And that way, I can actually also spend time with my family, when I have my family,
Right.
and be able to do this and share my dreams with my kids, whenever I have them, of course.
Yeah. That's a challenge for most restaurateurs, is spending time at home,
Exactly.
and how to find that balance in life between business and family is a very big challenge. I mean, so what's your secret of finding this balance, you know?
Exactly. That's what the other concept of Valle Cafe that I basically, when I say that it's a family-style oriented coffee house, it's because when family comes here, it's not only about for them to sit down at the table and just eat. If
Right.
there's kids and they want to cook their own meal, I take them to the kitchen with me. They cook their own meal. They actually tell me what they want. We can create their own dishes. When I have my cousins with their kids coming in, they enjoy here. They talk to the people. We've had people to that comes with their friends, and they love it so much. They say, "Oh, no worries." They give them the menus to their friends. They suggest the food. This is all. Oh, grab you the water. They can go in, grab the bottle of water or the glasses or whatever they need, and they feel that they are comfortable to be on their own house.
Right.
So, in my future, is that in if restaurateurs, we can actually think that the restaurant is not just a business, but it's our home that we can share with our families. It makes a great sense. Right now, for example, I have a girlfriend. I'm dating her, and she comes here to do her homework of her master's degree. She comes here to spend time with us, and she also feels that she can do whatever she needs here, and she doesn't need to actually go to anywhere else because then she can spend time with me, spend time with new people, talk to other people, get ideas, and enjoy all the time that she can.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, the way you just put it right now, I've read many books, heard many restaurateurs talk about that the restaurant needs to be like home, but they've never really explained it as well as you did right now. That's just amazing, which is if you couldn't go home, you brought home to you, pretty much.
Exactly. Pretty.
With this new rest new
Well,
concept.
as you know, that it always tells in La Roche, a hotel or a restaurant, it's home away from home. But what's the problem of actually in the industry? People focus too much on the money in as a business, but they don't see as a home. They don't actually think, well, why I do at home? How I feel if I go there and I wanted to make it my home. So they never actually put themselves in the situation of saying how I want to feel the experience, how I want things to be done so I can feel that way.
Right. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, what's the biggest challenge today in your business right now?
Well, the three major challenges that I have here in my business, first of all, is staff members. Finding the proper staff or with knowledge or properly trained or motivated to actually work in this industry has been really hard. I have had a really high staff turnover.
Right.
The second challenge that I have encountered is in Ecuador, due to the government, we have regulations of importation of product
Right.
and high taxation in the country, which made the several products are hard sometimes to find, or they're not always constantly in the market.
Right.
In addition to that, it has been also the challenge of being able to bring in things and the high cost of some equipment or stuff to be
Right.
able to run and have a properly set up restaurant.
Right.
And the third challenge that I have encountered here in Ecuador is the quality control. As there's not a culture about quality control on the product, and like itself, ideology from this company has become a sense that I have to go and look for the products that I need
Right.
and always control the quality that I need. I don't actually have the company to come to deliver to me with the quality standardized so I can actually feel safe and secure of buying what I need to do.
Right. Yeah, that's a common problem I see across the world. But let's talk about your number one challenge. You said it was about not finding the right trained staff.
Hello?
Yes, Sebastian, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I was saying, let's talk about your number one challenge. Your number one most biggest challenge is about not being able to find properly trained staff.
The thing is that there's three culinary schools here in Cuenca, which has become very good.
Okay.
But the teachers in this, they don't teach the students the proper cooking skills or knife skills, or the basic knowledge of a good person for this industry. In addition to that, the hotel industry that is more directed to tourism instead of actually directed to the hotels or restaurants knowledge.
Right.
So the problem here right now in Ecuador is that unemployment rate is really high, and there's in different industries people cannot find their jobs, so they try to do what they can.
Right.
Once they get into the food and beverage industry or hotel industry, they find it that it's really sacrificing because we always depend on customers. If they want to stay, they stay, or we don't have weekends or days off or hours off are really tough to always keep up because we work when other people have fun.
Correct.
So they get better motivated and they actually leave, and that creates a high staff turnover.
Right. So how does
Also,
that, yeah. Sorry, go ahead,
in the part of
Sebastian.
knowledge,
Right.
is that Ecuador still is really limited on culinary beverage knowledge, and they're very traditional on the things they do. So when you talk to people about things that are different, they don't actually know about it, and they feel insecure sometimes to try something new or to do things new. And they get scared most of the
Right.
time.
Right.
So that actually creates also a challenge because for them to learn something new is to go outside their comfort zone, and sometimes they actually do not accept it in the best way.
Right. And I totally understand that. So how does this affect your business? I mean,
Well, the way that affects is that sometimes customers get used to some of the staff that I have here, and when they don't see them, they actually feel sorry for it, and sometimes they think I'm too, that I that I pressured so much of my stuff that I'm too a perfectionist.
Right.
However, that's not the reality. When they actually view it, they say, no, they're doing it actually wrong, and Sebastian is just trying to teach them so they actually relax. However, one of the other things this has shown me is that it's been more sacrificing towards myself, because as I have staff coming in and out, that it implies that I have to be more in into the coffee house, working, making sure that everything goes right, always training people, and most of the time even doing the things for myself.
Right.
Until people can actually be trained and I can delegate the stuff that they have to do.
Right. So you're stuck more in the business. You can't really focus on the business because the staff attrition is so high. You're constantly doing their jobs.
Exactly.
Right.
So basically here, that's one of the things that most customers see is that I make their beverages, I cook, I clean their tables, sometimes I wash their own dishes, and I do everything that I have to do around here.
Right. That must be that. How do you feel about that?
Well, for one part, I do feel proud of myself because I know I can actually manage to do things all by myself and I can actually work hard on it. But at the same time, it's really hard because it's overwhelming. Sometimes I feel too exhausted that even in my free time, when I want to do something with my family, I don't do it because I just want to rest, bed, and it just keeps me on a really downside of my energy.
Right.
And the other sense also is because sometimes I have family meetings, we have business meetings and everything, and to be able to organize myself, not being having people to count with, is very hard and limits my time.
Right. Yeah. That takes away from your personal time.
Exactly.
So, not being able to make it for family functions, I mean, it gets to any human being, right? I mean, restaurant owners are also human beings, and just because there's the staff retention problem, and you're stuck in the restaurant when you'd rather be somewhere else, you know, for that day or that function. That must be frustrating, you know.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes frustrating, sometimes it actually kicks in a little bit of depression. But in my way to actually fight over all this, because let's be honest, not being able to have a really good personal life or have a good balance in life generates a big depression that sometimes people actually want to sometimes commit suicide or to leave the business, or they get into really harmful health situation. But my way to deal with this is in my free time or the time that I can find, I try to do sports. And I always put to myself the phrase of Vince Lombardi, which says that the greatest moment of a human being or of a man is when he's lying down in the battlefield completely exhausted, but knowing he's victorious because he gave everything of himself.
Right.
So that's the phrase that I work in my mind, and I say, well, I love what I do, I love my passion, and if I can finish my day, and if I'm exhausted, but I know I gave everything and all the best of myself, and I made my customers happy, and I'm making my business grow, and I was able to find that time to spend time with my family and do things proper, I know that I'm doing the right thing.
Right. I agree. So this retention, not having a high retention in your business of employees, how does it affect the other employees who are with you?
Well, the other employees, they actually realize, and some of them, they point out that it's frustrating because they work hard and they see somebody who doesn't want to work, they say, what is their problem?
Right.
This job is not, it is not that sacrificing like in other places. They don't treat us wrong. Like, I don't understand. So they actually has been, actually sometimes it's been a really positive side.
Right.
Because even my staff members, they start taking it more personal. And they feel part of the business. And they say, I don't want it to go down. I don't want it to lose. I don't know why they don't see it, but here we have a future. And I love what I do.
Right. So why do you feel that these new employees who come and go don't sense that? I mean, when they talk to other employees, they must be hearing all the positive stuff, right? Why I asked Sebastian is because this is a problem that's global. It's happening everywhere.
Yes.
You know.
One of the things that I realize is a little bit of a culture, and I think it's a tendency that is going around the world.
Right.
And my point of view is that people, when they find hardworking jobs and where they actually have to sacrifice something, they feel that it's too challenging and they don't want to.
Right.
Because they don't want to have that challenge. They don't want to have the sacrifice. And they just want the commodities. So right now, what's seen in the United States, as seen in Europe, is that people are taking a little bit more democratic, liberal idea.
Right.
Where they say, we're going to take it from the rich, give it to the poor. They say, if I can work less and get more money, that actually works for me. So it's more the ideology and the concept that people, they want to work less hours. They don't want to have the challenge or to do the effort, but they want to win a lot of money and be able to make big money from out of the blue.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I see that happening. Even in Asia, it's the same. In fact, let me say where I come from. In India, there are so many people from the interiors of the country that are now coming to the major cities. And we're noticing a trend, or like you said, a culture of wanting everything very fast. And so they're not willing to put in the hard work that's required. But want the same salaries, you know, and that's the new challenge that restaurateurs across the world are going to face, because that's not going to change. And so how do you get these people, because you still need them for your business, how do you get them engaged? How do you get them to get involved and stay with you? I mean, have you come up with any solutions that worked for you?
Well, one of the solutions that has worked really well for me is that here in Ecuador, I charge the 10% of service on the bill.
Right.
And which, as an owner, I don't get any part of it. All that is the service tips that I pay them every by half of the month.
Right.
So I always tell them, when you come to work here, you win the basic salary. However, if you help me sell more, and if we sell more product, and we actually make this better, and we have a higher rotation of clients and they want to come back and they consume, your 10% is better. So you want to win $1,000, you want to win $200 more or $300 more, fine. Help me work the business. Help me to make it better, because that's the way you get more money. So that has to actually be one of the strategies that has worked very well for me. And the second one that I actually have developed is self-empowerment. So when they come here, I do the menus, because all the art designs, the logo, everything I do myself. So I always show them, it's like, what do you think? Is the writing is good? How do you see the image? What do you think about the new menu? Should we change something? How is the price? So I make them to feel involved with the business and to know that even their opinions or the way that they actually view things is personal.
Right.
So they actually can know that they feel part of the team, that they actually are part of what they're doing here.
Right.
They're not just working. They're actually part of a family, of a team.
Right, right. You know, I was speaking to someone else who owns a few restaurants in San Francisco. And the same topic came up, which was, what does it really take to retain your employees? And my biggest learning was involving them in the business, making them feel valued, that their opinion is valued, you know, that they matter. And that came up number one on the list, and money was number three or four. And as long as they feel or felt involved and that they mattered and that what they said was heard. Now, whether we owners do something about it or not is separate, but at least you heard them. That was number one. And I really saw my retention. I had a retention issue so bad that 5 out of 10 staff left every month. It was very bad, and it took me a long time to understand that I cannot treat the employees like a number, and I have to involve them in my business, you know, and take care of them and hear them and make them feel safe. And when I figured that out, and this is all for free, you don't have to spend money doing this. I mean, you're already doing it. It's fantastic. And on top of that, you're already giving an incentive program, which takes care of the additional income. So I think you've pretty much got discovered, you know. But do you still see, after doing all of this, do you still see retention being a challenge?
Yes, sometimes it does, especially because of the culture, as we're talking about, people, they don't want to do hard
Right,
work.
right. You
Even
got.
though they're doing all this, but the people still want to be able to more money and do the less that they can.
Right.
For example, and that has become another, which has developed one of the major challenges that I had here in Ecuador, was in the marketing area. When I started the business, I was in a different location, more commercial place, and business was not going well. What I found out is that each country is different. Each place has a different marketing point of view. Here in Ecuador, where it worked is because I changed the business to a more residential area with parking space, but with a big garden where they can actually let their kids go and play and all that. That helped me develop.
Right.
And the professional, and we're looking for staff in marketing, that also has been very, very key point. Because people, when they come here, they say, okay, he's a great chef, he's a great hotelier, I can learn a lot about him, however, he's a perfectionist. And so when they hear perfection, they actually freak out and they don't actually want to be perfect. They just want to say, I just want to go win my money.
Yeah.
But the people who actually have stayed with me, they say, I love it because I can learn from you. I'm involved with it. I help them finish, some of them, they actually finish already their university degrees. Or one of the staff members, she left, but came back because she said, you know what, I want to do an internship in San Francisco. Can you write me a letter? I was like, of course. I wrote her a recommendation letter. When she sent it to San Francisco, the people loved the recommendation that I gave her. And, well, luckily, so one of the persons who were there was my friend, and we trained together at the CIA, and they accepted her for the internship. She went, she trained, when she came back, and she was like, I loved it. It was great, thank you for helping me out. She worked for me another year, and then she actually decided to quit. But not because she didn't like the job, because she said that she wanted to actually pursue her dreams, open her own business, and grow as I did. And I've
Right.
been supporting her until now. I go to visit her, and she comes to visit me, and we still have a really close encounter where we refer to each other constantly to make our both businesses grow.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Not many people do that. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, I'm gonna ask you another question, which is, if you had to go back to your younger self, you know, if you had to start all over again, what's the one piece of advice you'd give yourself?
I think that the best advice that I will give myself, if I was younger, I would say, look, this industry is hard, it's tough, you're going to sacrifice a lot, and you're going to have sometimes the worst moments of your life. But you're going to have the best comebacks, you're going to meet so many people, and the return of all the effort and all the sacrifice that you do, it will be so great that you're going to enjoy every single day of work. Because never, it will never be the same, it will never become boring, and you will always enjoy every single day, and you never know what surprise is going to take you. So just do it because you love it, and then just enjoy every second you have of it.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, you can feel the passion in your voice. You know, it's amazing.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing. So, if you had one wish for your business, just one wish, it could be anything, what would it be?
Wow, that's a really tough question.
Yeah, especially when it's only one wish.
Yeah, if I have to make it one wish, to always leave a mark. So my business, if I do things right and if my business is going well, is to leave a mark, to be an example and to show always how a person can grow and make their dreams come true.
That's amazing. I'm just writing this down. This is gold. So you said to be an example and show how a person can grow and leave a mark.
Leave a mark and make it his or her dream come true.
That's amazing. That's very inspirational.
Thank you.
And what would you say, what's the biggest lesson you could share with restaurant owners across the world? You know, what was your biggest lesson, learning lesson in this business? What could you share with them?
Well, the biggest learning situation that I had here as a restaurant owner, it was keeping the philosophy that one of my teachers, Mr. Alex and LaRoche, who was, we're ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. When I heard that phrase, what made me think is that for my staff members, for myself, I have to think that first of all, we're human beings and we're treating them human beings. So we're not diminishing ourselves. Instead of all, what this shows is that we can all be family. Even our clients can be part of our family, become our friends, and we can be their friends. And that actually is a philosophy that I work into my business, where I say to my staff, always think how you like to be served, how you want the food to taste, how you want everything to be here, how the whole your whole experience, how you want it to be. And give the same way to the clients. Because they're exactly like you, and they always think like you, and they want to feel like what you feel. So for me, I think the basic way to explain that or summarize it is to always never forget that we are human beings, just providing a service, just providing a different type of job, but where we actually try to always make everybody happy.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So last question, Sebastian. Thank you so much. Just one last question. And could you share one secret of yours that will help restaurateurs who want to make their business profitable? And profitable does not only mean money. It also means, you know, increase their free time, have a life. What's the one secret that you have?
My secret of here is that, first of all, I never think that it's my business, that it's just the way that I'm gonna gain money. The way that I view this is that it's actually my home, where I can share it with everybody. And I don't mind if I don't, sometimes I cannot go to see a race or a concert. I try to bring everything that I want into my business so I can feel happy, I can share with the people that I love, and just share with everybody that I can with. Just share my life with who I can, where I can, and especially here in my business, and show that I can actually do everything that I want right here.
That is, a very, it takes a lot to reach there. Clearly you are a matured restaurateur and a businessman, and infusing all of this in your place is just amazing. I mean, we wish you the best of luck. Really, it's just amazing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
I hope you go ahead and do really well in franchising. Feel free to drop me a line whenever you need to talk about it. I started franchising in 2004, and so I've seen the good and the bad side, and it's pretty much the same wherever you do it.
Sounds good.
So there's a lot of fun.
As another year in New Orleans, I'll be going there in September, so when I go there, I'll let you know beforehand so we can probably meet up.